This is the Penobscot Bay Report. I'm Ron Huber. February 27, 2015, Casco Baykeeper Emeritus Joe Payne gave a talk and discussion at the Belfast Unitarian Universalist Church. Joe described his two-decades-plus career as Keeper of Casco Bay and gives his strong support for organizing a Penobscot Baykeeper. Joe suggested a unique affiliate-style Penobscot Bay waterkeeper program that reflects the enormous size of the bay and the different societies, economics, and ecology of the different reaches. This is part three of the recording. It's 16 minutes, 32 seconds long.
They're mine. I better meet with this bozo because it might be in the paper tomorrow or I might be in court tomorrow without ever telling them that. You know, that's how it builds. So I wanted to tell you this is not the recipe. This things don't all count, but waterkeeper quite a long time ago said, what is a waterkeeper? They said, an informed environmental advocate, a consistent voice on the water, a flexible coalition builder, a thorough investigator, a trusted spokesperson, a dependable listener, a community servant, a dedicated scientist. You know, that doesn't mean you have to have a degree, but you have to learn some science, I think. You know, just look at the issues, the chemical issues in Penn Bay or in the sediments around the dredging. A dynamic educator, a resolute leader, a trusted expert, an economist, a visionary. I think they did a good job here. You know, there's more I could add, there's some I could minimize perhaps, but I think that's a nutshell of really what a person grows to become who feels the responsibility of speaking for a bay. So how do you get to be a waterkeeper? And in this I'm saying, you know, what are the hurdles or whatever? And so, I think maybe I'll leave this, and I know that Ron will do something good with it, but if you are a waterkeeper, what benefits do you get from the Waterkeeper Alliance in New York? You're not getting any money. That's not how it works. You know, but they do give you support. They help with advocacy. They run advocacy campaigns. If an issue here were a CAFO, confined animal feedlot operation, like, say, chickens, less likely hogs for us. North Carolina has more hogs than people. But they have a nationwide campaign. You would benefit from all of the materials that they've developed and the attorneys who now have cutting-edge experience in CAFO work, et cetera, et cetera. Capacity building, big deal for all organizations, especially tiny and starting out ones. Help with media. You know, I think media is credibility. Mm-hmm. That's an awful shorthand because they're not that credible. But anyway, mentoring and networking. We are just starting a really formal mentoring process because a few of us, like myself, have now retired from our full-time jobs. So I'm going to be traveling just a little bit, but mentoring brand new groups. And that's going to be about issues. It's going to be about fundraising. I mean, you know, it's always fundraising is what everyone talks about. So those are some of the benefits you get from being a waterkeeper in the Alliance. The perhaps biggest one is, for me anyway, there's a conference every single year. And you go to a conference and you get what I got when I met the first six. I still get it every year. I probably know 200 waterkeepers. And I get something from every one of them. I talk to them, and I go to myself, I just can't believe they did that or they're doing that. You know, I'm amazed and impressed. And you come back with your battery charged.
Yeah.
And you have ideas. Now, whether it's we found a source and we put together a bag. We used it as a boating bag, and it was don't teach your trash to swim. It was to bring your trash back in a bag with handles on it. And the material was recyclable, but it had already been recycled. You know, so it was recyclable. Mm-hmm. And the next year, like four of my colleagues had those bags. So you learn how to steal stuff that works good. So how do you do this? How do you get to be one? You write a proposal. And there's a format, and I'm not going to go over all of it. But there's a format, and there's a person in New York. Her name right now, I mean, there have been different people. The current person is Joanna. And she'll help walk you through this, and she'll look at a draft of your proposal and work with you to it isn't a test, you know, the first one and that's it. She'll work with you to ask you questions, you know, the Socratic method, and say, well, what did you mean by this, or where are you going? So that's how you get to be a water keeper. And then after that, you're on your own. I mean, except for all the help, but I mean, you get to call the shots. You only have to do things. We have these 13 quality standards. So you have to be a credible organization. You have to use approved accounting methods. You have to have a fundraising plan. You have to have a strategic plan. The last one is maintain a high level of integrity and avoid conduct, financial or otherwise, that is improper or creates the appearance of impropriety or embarrasses yourself or the Water Keeper Alliance. But they make sense. There's a license fee. It's on a sliding scale given what your budget is, but, you know, $200 a year, something like that. And what that goes to is to support the trademark, keeping the trademark. The word Baykeeper is trademarked, U.S. trademarked, as are the other keeper names and Waterkeeper. And you think, I thought, you know, when we started this 20 years ago, this is crazy, you know, what the hell. Turns out, people have tried to use the name. Unscrupulous people. Developers, you know, Waterkeeper Estates. And there was one that wasn't unscrupulous. A Waterkeeper bookstore. But you can't have that and maintain your trademark. So it helps protect the trademark. So that's how you get in. And you can raise the money. What are the two hardest things? And I need Ron to be in the room.
But he's out of the room. I recently read a whole history of Greenpeace. That was a big issue with them.
Yeah.
It's trademarking Greenpeace.
All right. Well, I will pass this around. Hugh actually has a list of, I don't know, the past 20 or 30 Waterkeeper magazines that have been out. And you can find these online at waterkeeper.org. But here's one. This guy in the front, I was lucky enough to meet and I fell in love with. He is the spiritual leader of 30 million Buddhists, and he lives on a mountain in Nepal. An unbelievable guy. He apologizes for his English, which is at least as good as mine. But you can see, and this is only three out of, I don't know, 30, I'll say. Here's one, the main article is from Alaska, and it is salmon or coal. The Waterkeeper Alliance has a huge advocacy campaign on coal, because coal is killing a lot of people at all the steps, from mining it to living near it to transport, et cetera, et cetera. So another one. And then here's Dean. Dean has a tough last name, N-A-U-J-O-K-S. He's in North Carolina, but it's Hands Off My River. He's fighting Alcoa Aluminum, and he's winning. But you can see, if you look at it, Hugh, if you wouldn't mind passing around that sheet that has those, all those little
vignettes. Unfortunately, it's scribbled all over.
Okay,
it.
Well, anyway, the variety of topics is amazing.
I beg your pardon. Yeah.
And the exposure to waterkeepers around the world. We have one of the things you have to do. You're back. I wanted you to hear this. The two hardest things for people to think they can do to be a waterkeeper is full-time, paid advocate, and a boat. A boat suitable for your waterway. Now, we have lots of waterkeepers that have kayaks because they have little rivers. The Waterkeeper Alliance would not approve a kayak for Penn Bay. You know, you need a real boat. But so those two things are stoppers, you know, for some people. They think they're stoppers. And you have to have those. Except we gave the green, it has a Chinese name, but I know it as the Green River Keeper in China. We gave him a waiver on having a vessel because in China it's illegal to go on the Green River. It's illegal because the fumes will kill you. You'll fall out of the boat dead, or maybe you'll fall into the boat dead. But anyway, so, you know, we're reasonable about that. So unless your water boy will kill you, you need a boat. And this brings me to something that I don't know, Ron, if you know about it, but I wanted to bring up to all of you. I am here to tell you that being a waterkeeper can be a lifetime career. It's extraordinarily satisfying, and you can help achieve enormous changes for good in your water body. And I think that would feed anybody's soul. There is another way to go. It's something that we've just started over the last year, and it's called Waterkeeper Affiliate. Now, the bad news is you don't get to have a baykeeper, let's say for Penn Bay, or Penobscot Bay Waterkeeper. But the requirements are different. You don't have to have a full-time paid advocate. You have to have a part-time advocate. I just realized I thought I knew all of this. I should, right, being one of people who've been around forever. But so it doesn't have to be full-time paid. I think maybe you pay him, I don't know. But anyway, and you don't have to have a boat. And so what that means are groups like, for instance, Friends of Penobscot Bay. I know Ron is an advocate. I've known Ron for over 20 years. From the first time, I remember it was the dioxin hearings at the Civic Center in Augusta a long time ago. But anyway, so there's a group and there's an advocate. I don't think Ron's getting rich being an advocate for Friends of Penobscot Bay, but I'm just saying, you know, that's what the Waterkeeper Alliance was looking at. Some place that has an infrastructure that is going in the direction of Waterkeeper. I want to say the right direction, but that's my point of view.
You know, can I interject here? Yeah. There are so many groups here in Penobscot Bay that come to mind, the Island Institute.
Right.
And the other groups near right around here, the Belfast Bay, the watershed groups, the Sheepscot River, the George's River, and these are very active.
And this is exactly my thought that I wanted to propose to you tonight.
Right.
Is to become an affiliate, you can do it on your own. Mm-hmm. Say, Friends of Penobscot Bay could apply to do that. There is a process. Mm-hmm. There is an application, but it doesn't include full-time paid advocate or both. Mm-hmm. And so one can do that. A group could also do that through an existing Waterkeeper program. That would probably, paperwork-wise, a little easier. So if Friends of, you know, I'm making this up out of whole cloth, so please embrace the larger picture, not the specifics. But if Fundy Baykeeper, Conservation Council of New Brunswick, wanted to embrace Friends of Penobscot Bay and an advocate, that advocate could, or the whole schmiller, could call themselves whatever they want, not the trademark names. But it could be the Penn Bay Advocate, the Penn Bay Meister, the Penn Bay Investigator.
Names,
I mean, just saying, there are an awful lot of things. Advocate, activist, protector, and you can reverse it. It could be the water quality guru of Penobscot Bay, whatever. But by affiliating with an existing waterkeeper organization, it's a step easier. That could also be, say, you would have to investigate. I am not speaking for Friends of Casco Bay. I can't speak for Friends. I'm saying an existing waterkeeper organization. So that was my first thought. But then I thought, well, wait a minute. How about thinking a little larger? First, there's the issue of Penn Bay is too big, my opinion. And there's all those groups there. And what you need is someone who's going to devote some time, I would say every week, to advocacy, and you got that big geography. So, again, don't take the specifics, but if you thought about Island Institute and Rockland, all right, that's a good start on the bay. Mm-hmm. And you come up to Belfast and say, Friends. And I'm going to forget now. But
Penobscot East over on the...
And go down to like Stonington for Penobscot East. Sure. Maybe bring Friends of Morgan Bay into that fold. You know, I don't know, but I'm just saying... Each person could be an affiliate, and that's what you get to say. I'm the Penobscot Bay advocate, or, you know, I work as Penn Bay advocate for Friends of Penn Bay, and we are an affiliate of Waterkeeper Alliance. And so if anyone thinks there is strength benefit to being Waterkeeper Alliance, I personally think there is from a fundraising point of view, visibility and credibility, my opinion. But instead of just one, and I think if they were wise, carving out a smaller geography. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could have just the Bagaduce River. It's got enough stuff going on.
Oh, sure.
You know, so you could pick any place that's got enough stuff going on. But you could actually think about a coalition of waterkeeper affiliates, of advocates, activists, educators, investigators, you know, whatever you want to put before or after the name, could cover Penn Bay. You could do it without, some people think, the onus of raising a lot of money every year and having a boat. You could share resources.
Right.
One would hope that some fellowship would develop among these spokespersons for their piece of water. And if there's something, I want to pick on Ron because he's so close, but, you know, someone has an expertise already developed in something, and they don't have that in Rockland. Well, and it's of interest, then, you know, you could swap. I'm not saying the territories would be inviolate, but, you know, could do that. So you take that, I'd be happy to talk about it another time, but could actually cover Penn Bay with affiliates.
Yeah.
The goal, of course, and it's not a demand, but the goal is that an affiliate, someone will emerge from the affiliates as a waterkeeper, that they will do the next step, go full-time, and, you know, have the boat.